is one of the most anticipated events of our government. It is our fiscal year 2025 budget address. So without further ado, it is my pleasure to introduce Mayor Linda Gordon.
Thank you very much, Vice Mayor Wu. Welcome, council members, and it's great to see everybody here. Before I get started, I want to recognize the three council members we know won't be returning next year. Councilmember Preston Worley, Councilmember Kathy Plowman, and Councilmember Fred Brown are not running for re-election. So I just want to say thank you. And we'll have time to say big goodbyes later in the year. And we will miss you. And Fred, even though you won't be here for fiscal year 26, there will be paving. It will continue. So congratulations to all three of you. Today, you officially begin your deliberations on the budget I'm proposing to you. Generally, my plan is a solid, no-frills budget. It's more about needs than it is about wants. Even so, the strong, targeted $531.8 million budget that I am presenting today addresses our needs, promotes progress in every corner of our city. My proposal is based in part on council input. I met with each of you to discuss your priorities, and I'm sure you gathered ideas and information from your constituents about their needs, just as I've heard from people all over town. I included many of the needs that you identified in this proposal. Our city employees, who are boots on the ground in our community, have also identified needs that are funded in this plan. Our balanced budget is based on what we can afford. While we continue to see growth in our revenues, this budget anticipates solid 6% revenue growth. This year, we are entering a new era with our budget. Now, you might wonder, what is a new era? Well, first, in our 24-25 fiscal year, the federal American Rescue Plan funds, those one-time fundings that provided millions of dollars for projects since 2021, are phased out. Second, in concert with council's new ordinances, this is the first budget requiring 1% of the prior year's revenue to be dedicated to affordable housing and 0.3% to the Office of Homelessness Intervention and Prevention. This is the fourth budget that we have had in place a requirement that 1% of the prior year's revenue be dedicated to extended social resource grants. Taken together, those all add up to a total required funding of $11 million for these three projects. And I'll talk a little bit about them later. Since 2020, our financial team has weathered some of the highest highs and lowest lows this city has ever experienced. Through it all, our good bond rating has remained unchanged. We received our most recent AA stable rating in late March. A steady bond rating tells the world, especially the financial world, that Lexington is well managed fiscally. In fact, we have been ranked as the second best managed city in the country, in part based on our financial stability, as well as our operating efficiency. Thanks to those who have led this and made it happen, first, our Chief Administrative Officer, Sally Hamilton, Finance Commissioner Erin Hensley and her awesome team, with assistance from my Chief of Staff, Tyler Scott. In making its budget decisions, the Council also makes an important contribution to our fiscal management, and I appreciate your commitment to conservative budgeting, We must all remember the decisions we make about this year's budget will clearly have an impact on next year and beyond. Let's talk a minute about the ways I'm managing our money in this plan. First, I have right-sized operating expenses across government. In recent years, many government divisions have not used all of their operating funds, so we worked with them to reduce their requests. Second, we have been strict across the board about not increasing recurring expenses in our general fund, keeping an eye on the impact on next year's budget. For example, I have only added 15 new employees in this budget plan. Third, we have carefully avoided funding recurring expenses with one-time money. That's just kind of money management 101. We use one-time money for one-time expenses. And one last point about our financial resources. In this budget plan, we will continue our regular monthly contributions to our rainy day fund, amounting to $600,000 in this budget. Currently, our rainy day fund set aside for emergencies stands at almost $40 million. Now, let's talk about a few of the things in the budget. First, all of the projects budgeted will be implemented through the hard work of our outstanding city employees. For employees who are not covered by collective bargaining contracts, I have included a well-deserved 3% raise. At the 30,000-foot level, this budget includes approximately $110 million in planned capital spending across all funds and sources, and I'll discuss some of that investment later. At ground level, though, it all comes down to people, right? I'm going to talk about this budget today through the lens of how it improves services for our people. Let's start with seniors, a growing part of our community. We learned from the recent census that 25 of our residents right here in Fayette County are 55 or older. Seniors love our senior centers. Our newest center, located off Richmond Road, is almost too popular. Over 1,200 seniors attend classes or eat lunch or exercise or participate in other activity there every month. 3 years ago, we started making plans for one facility that houses a senior center just for seniors, as well as a therapeutic recreation center, which will serve everyone above age 5 with disabilities, with dedicated times for seniors. To keep costs down, we chose land we already owned in Shillitoe Park, and last year we funded the design of the facility. So this year, it's time to build. This budget has $24 million set aside for construction, which should begin in the fall. Keeping people safe is a priority for all of our residents, as well as me. Public safety services always command the largest share of our general fund budget. This year, it's 56%. My proposal includes initial funding for a public safety training facility. As you know, excellent training sets our public safety divisions apart. We need first-class facilities to accommodate some of the most extensive and toughest training in the country. In police, 4 new positions are funded. Safety officers who respond to traffic collisions, traffic hazards, parking complaints, conduct traffic control, and assist with traffic-related functions at special events. This represents an annual investment of $263,000. In addition, $3.5 million is set aside for new vehicles for patrol, part of our annual commitment to provide excellent equipment for our officers. Through this budget proposal, I'm also building on our investments in technology to support our police. The Real-Time Intelligence Center, first established in 2022, relies on Flock and Fusus technology to provide up-to-date, real-time intelligence, allowing our police to respond to calls quickly and with more precision. It acts as a police force multiplier, saving our officers time and helping them build stronger cases. It has helped police find 269 stolen vehicles with a total value that tops $3.7 million. The time it takes police to recover a stolen vehicle has been cut in half to 5.6 days. It has also helped police locate 22 missing persons, led to criminal charges for 451 persons, taken 68 illegal guns off the streets, and aided 84 criminal investigations. Continuing and increasing our investment in this technology will build on our initiatives to serve the residents of our city by improving their safety. 25 more Flock license plate readers will be included for a total of 125 citywide. Now, there have been great advances in DNA testing technology. We are investing $150,000 in private lab DNA testing to accelerate violent crime investigations and identify perpetrators quickly. This will serve crime victims and their families by delivering justice at a much faster pace. Dedicated funding for private DNA testing will decrease the time it takes to process DNA evidence results from years to weeks. We continue our efforts to recruit new officers, and this budget funds 3 recruit classes and provides $80,000 to support recruitment advertising campaigns. In fire, we are serving our people by funding $5.1 million on replacement vehicles, including 3 engines and 3 emergency medical vehicles. Those are our ambulances. Fire emergency equipment is essential, it's extremely expensive, and it's hard to get. We make regular investments to keep our fleet in top condition overall. We will also fund $100,000 in a health and wellness contract for fire personnel and increasing our funding for smoke alarm installations by 10%. This year, our firefighters will install 7,000 smoke alarms in residences across our city, a direct service to residents. Anyone can request a smoke alarm. In this plan, the salaries of 21 additional firefighters hired and funded in 2022 through a federal grant will transition to our city's general fund budget at a cost of $1.5 million, included in this proposal to cover a partial year. $2.2 million will be in next year's budget to cover the entire 21 firefighters. 3 additional safety-related programs are part of this budget. First, our One Lexington Youth Violence Prevention Program also plays an important role in serving people by improving safety. One Lexington has helped reduce homicides and shootings in our city. In 2022, Lexington had 44 homicides, compared to 24 in 2023. And in 2023, for the first time in 5 years, Lexington had fewer than 100 shootings. I'm increasing funding of One Lexington's trauma-informed care services to $50,000. This provides group counseling for young people who've been directly affected by violence. And it helps parents address individual counseling needs for their children. I'm also increasing the One Lexington's crisis response budget, which includes survivor support, including relocation and assistance for rent and utilities. Second, I'm increasing funds by $100,000 for Mental Health Court, a program that helps people get the mental health treatment they need rather than circling in and out of the criminal justice system. And there's a third program to improve safety. It's called It's Time. In 2022, we saw a significant increase in homicides related to domestic violence. We started a domestic violence prevention public awareness campaign called It's Time. The next step is to involve our faith and immigrant communities in domestic violence prevention and to examine the impact of domestic violence on children. Funding is at $100,000. Now, economic development is one of the most important ways we serve citizens. Lexington's economy is running full steam ahead, fully recovered from the pandemic, and breaking records for the number of people employed. Fayette County has seen more than 8% growth in employment since 2020. In 2023, we reached the largest number of people employed in our history. Our overall employment grew by more than 47,000 from 1990 to 2022, and almost 8,400 of those jobs were added between 2020 and 2022. To keep our economy healthy and strong, we've talked for many years about working on economic development as a region. Now we're doing it. Working with Scott and Madison counties, we are establishing an economic development park that will provide jobs and split future tax revenue among our three counties. The park will be located in Scott County. Our startup investment of $2.1 million is funded in this budget. Our economic development team works to provide workforce development through jobs programs and training. We are making the Barrier-Free Reentry and Recovery Program, fondly known as BeFree, a permanent part of workforce development after the pilot ends this September. This is a jobs program that takes a comprehensive approach to helping prisoners who are in recovery for substance use disorder who are about to be released from jail. In terms of serving those in our community who most need our help, this budget also includes significant new funding for affordable housing, more help for those who are homeless, and generous resources for extended social resource or ESR grants, which help fund social service agencies throughout our community. Taken together, funding for these areas increasing by $4 million in this budget. It's a testament to the well of compassion that just runs a little deeper in our community. That spirit of compassion is one of the reasons I love Lexington. We will more than double our funding of affordable housing, with $4.79 million set aside for our affordable housing fund. I've included a significant increase in funds to help those who are homeless. This budget almost doubles funding for the Office of Homelessness Prevention and Intervention to $1.4 million. It also includes an allocation to again fund a winter warming shelter. $2 million like this year's Hope Village. Funding for ESR grants has also significantly increased since the program began in 2014. We are funding $4.79 million in these grants. This year, mental health has been included as a priority area for ESR grants. The social service agencies that receive these grants are our partners in meeting the needs of thousands of residents. We also provided additional funding for the Recovery Supportive Living Assistance Program, which serves people struggling with substance use disorder. We will provide $500 to help individuals continue in or enter a recovery facility. This year, just over $256,000 is included. As we work to serve our residents, we must ensure that we're serving everyone. Since 2020, this community has been involved in implementing recommendations from my Commission for Racial Justice and Equality, a group of 70 citizens who sought solutions to racial inequities in Fayette County. As we continue to implement their recommendations, it's time to look back at the changes we have made to measure their effectiveness. I've included $100,000 for an equity assessment study. Now, smart land use planning is an essential service we provide to our residents. Planning staff members keep an eye on our future while monitoring our present and protecting quality of life. Planning's responsibilities have grown with the recent addition of new acreage inside the urban service area. To ensure we can meet the demands of this new development places on government services like sewers, traffic, fire, police, it's essential that we plan carefully in this area. In doing so, we help protect our natural environment and build an attractive, economically strong, and socially diverse community. I've included four new positions for outreach and strategic planners, a combined annual funding of almost $437,000. In addition, we will invest $500,000 in a small area plan for the Blue Sky Industrial Park in the Blue Sky Rural Activity Center, also part of the new expansion area. This plan will involve economic development leaders and business owners as we discuss redevelopment of the park. And finally, I have $2 million for our Purchase of Development Rights program that protects our prime farmland. Now, good planning is also the key to our Complete Streets program. The goal of this program is to make transportation in Lexington safer, affordable, accessible, and dependable for everyone through planning and design. We're funding $119,000 to hire a Complete Streets manager to make Complete Streets planning part of all transportation projects. Safe Street funding also includes $1.45 million to match the $22 million federal grant, one of the largest grants we have ever received. The funds will be used to make improvements on New Circle Road between Boardwalk and Bryan Station, where most of our fatal and serious injury traffic accidents have occurred. $1 million for ADA ramps, so more people can get from the sidewalk to the street easily. $900,000 in traffic signals and bike and pedestrian improvements, including completion of two trails in Jacobson Park, improvements on bike paths near the University of Kentucky campus, and work on the Town Branch Trail that heads out Leestown Road. Closing sidewalk gaps and adding new bike lanes on West Loudoun Avenue, a local investment of $140,000 to match a $560,000 federal grant. Closing sidewalk gaps and adding new bike paths, plus intersection improvements along Armstrong Mill from Tates Creek Road to Squires Hill Lane, an investment of $200,000 to match an $800,000 federal grant. These federal grants are your tax dollars coming home. $150,000 for traffic calming initiatives on neighborhood streets, and $14 million in road paving. We are also, We are also making significant investments to protect our environment. I've included $700,000 more to increase recycling, with additional funding for electronic recycling and composting. I've created a new position in water quality that will focus exclusively on odor control at our wastewater treatment plants. $6 million is included to construct odor control process improvements at each wastewater treatment plant. We've hired an odor control consultant to guide us in making this process efficient and effective. Now, odor may not be important to all of you, but it's important to a whole bunch of people here. Two programs are funded that make home repairs more affordable. This is the fourth year for the Housing Repair Assistance Program I started. It helps low-income homeowners make needed repairs identified by code enforcement. $200,000 for this program is included. And we have increased funding for the Code Enforcement Sidewalk Program, a cost-sharing program to repair residential sidewalks. $300,000 for this program, an increase of $130,000, is included. Now, parks make an enormous contribution to the quality of life of thousands of our residents. $2.9 million in parks improvements are funded to improve the services they offer. Playground improvements at Masterson Hills, Hillendale, and Marlboro are included. And there's parking lot paving at Meadowbrook, restroom design for Constitution, and building repairs at Raven Run, Shillitoe, and the Tate's Creek Ballroom. In aquatics, the pool liner in the Tate's Creek pools will be replaced. So, in conclusion, we all know that a budget is an operational plan expressed in dollars to reflect our priorities. Back in January, during my State of the City County speech, I said I had kept the promise I made 25 years ago when I first was elected to the council, to keep government's focus on people. And today's budget does exactly that. Thank you very much.